Her Majesty, Allure of Torrent, First of Her Name, and Scourge of Mouse Droids. By Pyromantic Daydreamer. Read by Renton 6 Echo. Summary: Jesse finds Atuka on a covert scout mission. She insists on following him back to the ship. The Allure has spoken. Jesse finds it on a reconnaissance mission. A delicate and dangerous reconnaissance mission, Rex had said. Touch nothing, Rex had said. Rex had sent him along with Fize and Echo, giving all three of them two silent blasters each, and said, do not use them unless there's no other choice, because the single most important objective of this particular scout and recon mission was to keep their presence here a secret. The Arcs are trained for this sort of objective. Jesse is not. And oh, he's aware that the captain wants him to be, wants to send him off to ARC training and receive him back perfectly suited to these kind of missions, but there currently isn't enough grounds for him to be nominated for ARC, and so the captain has to settle for this, sending him off on ARC-style missions with Torrent's actual ARCs and hoping that it works out well enough in the end.
Jesse, what do you see?
Echo's query is quiet, spoken just loud enough to be caught by his helmet's transmitter, sending the audio to Fize and Jesse, and scrambling it to anybody else. Jesse, standing stock still and staring into the underbrush, apparently making the two actual arcs think that there's some kind of threat there.
It's Atuka, I think,
he replies, and it's been hard for him to figure out exactly how quiet he needs to be, but he's figured it out, he thinks.
What? Jesse, leave the Criffing wildlife alone.
Five all but snaps. When even Fives is acting something bordering on responsible, Jesse thinks there might be an actual problem.
No, but look, it's staring at me.
It is. It's watching him with unblinking yellow eyes set into large purple spots in an otherwise white face.
Because you're staring at it,
Echo points out.
We have to go.
Jesse sighs, but the Arcs are right. They have to go. The Tuka's following them, Jesse's pretty sure. He spots it up in one of the trees as they make a silent camp. He nudges Fives and points up at it, because if he can get Fives on board, then he can double-team to get Echo on board. Five doesn't get on board. He just shrugs and goes back to silently eating his ration bar. He signs something at Echo, something Jesse doesn't fully catch because he's still not fully fluent in battle signs, even though they're trying to teach him. Echo signs something back, and then Fives puts his helmet back on and takes a position that very clearly says, watch. Jesse stares at the Tuka, purple and white striped tail swishing lazily through the air as it remains otherwise still up on its tree branch. They may be 100 feet from the scout ship that will return them to the Resolute when Jesse feels something brush against his leg. He draws the silent blaster that remained otherwise unused so fast that he startles even himself, but holsters it almost as quick when he sees that it's just the Tuka again. It sits down in front of him, tail wrapping neatly around its front paws, and stares up at him with its bright yellow eyes. Fives and Echo are staring at him, he can tell.
Jesse, we've got to get back on the ship,
Echo tells him through their comms.
Let's go. I'm not leaving it,
bending down slowly so as to not spook it.
You are not bringing Atuka back to the Resolute,
Echo argues, and it almost sounds like an order. As Echo outranks him in just about every sense, it very well could be. Jesse scoops the Atuka up, and it doesn't protest nearly as much as he expected it to. In fact, it settles very quickly in his arms and starts vibrating deep in its chest.
The Tuka says I am,
he says back.
Well, can't argue with that logic,
Fives agrees.
What? No!
Echo argues anyway.
That could belong to someone. We can't just steal somebody's pet. It does belong to someone,
Jesse agrees.
It belongs to me. That's not what I meant,
Echo says with a sigh.
And I know you know that.
It's been following them the full 3 days they've been there, though, and it came right up to Jesse as if to stop him from leaving without it. If it did belong to somebody at some point, it doesn't now.
Leave it,
Five says.
He still has to contend with Rex after all.
Jesse looks down at the Tuca in his arms, eyes closed and tail flicking as it purrs contentedly. Rex was an obstacle he'd forgotten to account for, but he will make it work. It starts squirming when the ship starts to leave Atmo, claws scratching at Jesse's armor. He holds it fast, not wanting to risk it getting away, and somehow managing to jump out of the ship or something. Immediately after, it starts yowling, loud, pathetic-sounding screams, clear discomfort at the pressure, and grav changes, unnoticeable to the humans, but very clear to the very much smaller and more sensitive animal.
Is that a fucking Tuca?
Goose asks from the cockpit.
Mind your own business,
Jesse calls back, scratching underneath the Tuca's chin in the hopes that it'll calm it down.
You're bringing a fucking Tuca back?
Goose is apparently very bad at minding his own business.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Mind your own fucking business. Jesse, if you don't shut that criffing thing up, it's taking an express trip back to the surface.
Fives threatens, and Jesse pulls it closer to his chest to protect it.
Don't you dare,
he hisses, right before the Tuca catches him in the chin with one of its scrambling legs.
Ow, fuck, hey! What you fucking get?
Echo grumbles. Jesse thinks that it's a little uncalled for.
Kix isn't going to give you back to for that, you know. He will if... Calm down. If... How? If nobody tells him what... Criff! What scratched me.
Five snorts.
So he definitely won't help you.
All right, fine. Kix definitely won't help him with any Bacta. It's fine. The pain was a little more than a sharp sting at first, and even that's starting to subside. Jesse will survive, whatever. The more pressing issue is avoiding introducing the captain to the Tuca until it's definitely too late to get rid of it. This is going to be difficult since Rex is probably going to be waiting for them at the loading deck to hear about what they found down on the surface. He briefly considers just hiding the Tuca in his helmet, but Rex would definitely notice him holding his helmet upside down, even if the Tuca wasn't popping its head or tail out while they're talking. There really is no way to this. Damn. Fives' glare at the still-screaming Tuca is making it look highly likely that Jesse isn't going to have to worry about that anyway. Jesse? Sir? He'd thrown the Tuca into the helmet anyway, for lack of any better ideas. He doesn't have enough hands to hold both of them anyway, and he's fucking tired of wearing the helmet. The Tuca's tail is hanging over the edge, but it looks like the Tuca itself has fallen asleep, dozing quietly curled up inside. Would you like to explain to me what it is that's in your helmet, Trooper? Rex is doing that thing he does when he phrases it like a question, but his tone makes it very clear that he does not actually have an option. I'd rather not, actually, he says anyway, knowing full well that it won't work, but hoping that maybe Rex will decide it isn't worth it. Jesse? Fives and Echo show no indication that they plan to help him in any way. It's a Tuca, sir. And why, precisely, is there a Tuca in your helmet? Because I didn't have enough hands to hold her and the helmet at the same time, sir. Rex doesn't say anything, but he does level Jesse with a glare that screams, "Try that again." And all right, see, here's the problem. Jesse doesn't really know why the fuck he decided he was going to bring the Tuca back to the Resolute with him, only that it had been staring at him with its bright yellow eyes, and he didn't want to leave it to the mercy of the Forest and the Separatists. We don't leave men behind, sir. Rex sighs. It's a Tuca, Jesse. It's the allure of Torrent. Rex stares at him, and Jesse can't tell if he's about to be punished or not. Behind him, Five starts laughing, vaguely muffled like he's trying to cover it up with his hand. Finally, Rex just sighs. What did you find in your mission? He asks. Besides the fucking Tuca. That's the allure of Clan Torrent? Fives corrects. And fuck, Jesse doesn't actually want that to stick. You should show it some respect, sir. Echo ends up being the one to relay everything that they'd found to Rex in the corridor that Torrent affectionately refers to as the Suicide Corridor, because it's where Rex has his men run punishment suicides. He's sitting on the ground, back against one of the walls. Jesse's fucking Tuca, apparently their clan leader now, like they're a clan in the first place, in his lap. "And this?" Rex asks, once the full report is given, gesturing to the Tuca in question. "He found it towards the beginning of the mission," Echo explains with a sigh, as Fives and Jesse run by again. "We told him to leave it." And he doesn't really think that Rex is going to believe him when he's sitting there now, scratching it absently behind its ears. "He did at first, but it kept following him around, and he picked it up while we were on our way back to the scout shuttle." "Told him to leave it, huh?" Rex repeats, and Echo doesn't need to look up at him to know that he's looking at how Echo's moved to gently running a hand down the thing's back. "I'm not entirely certain that there isn't a family down on the surface who is now missing a Tuca," he admits. "I told Jesse that it could belong to somebody. He just said, yeah, me, and picked it up." Rex still looks like he doesn't entirely believe Echo, but he doesn't make him run suicides, so in the end, Echo doesn't really care. Word of the new Allure spreads quickly. By night cycle, everyone is asking how she's settling in, and the people that see her for themselves refer to her as Sir. For a split-second decision, it spirals out of control before Jesse even gets the chance to come up with a name for her himself. She's the Allure now. That's it. That's her name. By the start of the second night cycle, it becomes clear that the Allure doesn't much care for Jesse, after all. Oh, she likes him well enough, he supposes, follows him around during the day, but she's more interested in cuddling with just about anybody else when he's not walking around. She doesn't even sleep in his bunk in the barracks. She sleeps with Kix. "I'm the Allure's favorite," Kix says, scratching underneath her chin. Jesse just grumbles as he gets his armor on, planning on making a quick stop to get the Allure some actual food before he has to report for duty. She doesn't like Hard Case much at all, too loud and rough for her liking. His hands are covered in scratches from trying to pick her up anyway. She's more or less indifferent to Fives, and she absolutely adores Echo. She also, in a stunning show of backstabbing betrayal, is very fond of Rex. Rex, who acts wholly indifferent towards her, but sneaks her bits of food in the mess hall when he thinks nobody's looking, and talks to her like she actually outranks him, all sharp, "Yes, sir," when she meows up at him, and "I'm sorry, sir," when he has to disturb her rest to attend to his duties. For someone who punished Jesse for bringing her on board in the first place, he's very fond of her in return. The Allure likes boots. Jesse's a little concerned about how much she likes all their boots. "Sir, that's my boot you're eating," Fives informs her plaintively, bending down and gently removing his boot from her teeth and claws. She bats at his hands with her claws out, catching his fingers and digging in. "Ow! All right!" He drops the boot and returns to Kix. Kix doesn't even look at him. "Play stupid games, win stupid prizes," he says, tapping around on his datapad. "I need my boots," Fives argues. "I can't show up for duty with one boot." The Allure has spoken. Echo, already kitted up and boots firmly on his feet, bends down and scoops up the Allure into his arms, quickly enough that she doesn't have the chance to fight. She settles right into his chest. Echo's the only one she'll let her hold like this. "Get your boots on before she changes her mind," he tells Fives, scratching the Allure under her chin. "Boots aren't very nutritious, sir," he coos, and Jesse can hear her purring from his own bunk. "Your food is over by your bunk, remember?" She has a little bed that they put at the foot of Jesse's bunk, and had referred it to the Allure's bunk, until they realized she had no intentions of using it. Now they refer to Kix's bunk as the Allure's bunk, and the bed as the Allure's throne. Kix, of course, no longer has a bunk. He seems to have accepted this readily. She meows up at Echo, nudging his face with her nose, and Jesse thinks it's probably meant to be taken as an argument. Some kind of, "But I'd rather eat boots." Fiza's boots finally in place, Echo sets the Allure back down on the ground, giving her a gentle stroke down her back before straightening back up and picking up his bucket. The Allure simply plops down onto her side and reaches out for one of Jesse's boots. "You're lucky I'm off duty for the rest of the cycle, sir," he tells her, watching her kick her hind legs at the heel. She ignores him. Jesse is getting pretty used to that. There are very few places that the Allure is not allowed into. The bridge, one of the Natborn's quarters, he turned out to be allergic to her, requisitions, and medical. She always manages to find her way into these places anyway. Kick sighs when he spots her, sitting on top of the cabinet full of different sized bacta patches, eyes half closed and tail flicking in lazy contentment. "Sir, it isn't safe for you to be here," he informs her, but she's too high up for him to safely get her down. Unsafe for him, anyway. She'll be fine, but she squirms and kicks and scratches whenever anybody but Echo tries to pick her up, and he'd already have to step onto the stepladder to reach her. She glances at him briefly before turning her head to the wall and rolling onto her side. Cork snorts from where he's checking their stock from the order they need to get to the page by the end of the day cycle. "The Allure has spoken," he says. "We need more IV bags." Yes, Kix had noticed that. "We should get some implants," he sighs. "Prevent anyone else from getting someone pregnant." He'll offer to give one to Fize, but they're definitely well past the point where it will help. The other men will come and seek him out on their own once word gets around that it's a thing that's available. "Got a rough estimate on how many?" Kix wants to say 100, because that's a nice round number to start, but the implants are expensive, and they definitely aren't supposed to be needing them at all. "Start with 20, he says, after thinking about it for a minute. "Wait in order, then do 20 more. We'll keep going like that until everybody who feels like they need one has it." He decides to leave the Allure for now. She's not hurting anybody up there, and she seems to have fallen asleep. She's remarkably distressed when they leave on their next campaign. She seems to be able to tell that they're all kidding up to leave her alone for a while, even though the shipbound crew has already agreed to check up on her and make sure she's all right. It's no secret that her favorites are their little crew and Rex, and all of her favorites are going to be off ship for the next few days. "Too bad you told the general he wasn't allowed to ground you," Hardcase muses, as Jesse tries to carefully tip her out of his bucket, where she's decided that she'll stay until they change their minds about leaving. "You could keep her company." Fives doesn't even give him a glare response. They all know how touchy of a subject that whole conversation with Rex and General Skywalker was. Really, Jesse's pretty sure Echo's the only one who can get away with bringing it up. And it's incredibly fucking bold of Hardcase to even try, considering the way that Fives is pretty tense around him. "She'll be fine," Echo assures them, but it sounds like he's mostly assuring Fives. There are plenty of people staying on board who can make sure that she's well taken care of. She's mad at them when they return, twisting around their ankles and yelling up at them, batting at their toes and refusing to be ignored. Echo picks her up, most of his armor unbuckled and unlatched, but still on, and holds her close, shushing her gently. "We're all here, we're all okay," he assures her. "We're all fine, Allure." She doesn't sleep much that night, spending most of the cycle bouncing between beds and rubbing her face against theirs. She even sits on Hardcase's pillow for a while, not that he's awake to notice. She's not in their room when they wake up. Later, they find her with Rex, draped across his lap in the mess hall. The Allure doesn't handle it well when Fives goes to Coruscant. She spends 3 full cycles curled up on Fives' bunk, yelling for him when they're all trying to sleep. Not even Echo is able to calm her down. She follows Echo around the ship, screaming up at him like he's going to show her where Fives is hiding. "She's smart if she's worked out that you two aren't usually that far away from each other," Cork offers, as Echo tries to shush her. She's going to be livid with him when he gets back. She's squirming in Echo's arms. He lets her hop down, and he wishes he could say he was surprised when she immediately starts winding around his ankles and yelling up at him. She'll probably just end up ignoring him, honestly. They hadn't even realized that she liked Fives that much until now. Echo thinks the problem is more that she doesn't like change, and Fives' absence is a change. Not to mention, she was already upset with him for leaving on another campaign. It's how she tells you that she's upset with you. About a 10-day after Fives' so-called medical leave begins, they get a shipment of shinies. The Allure adopts one of them for her own. His name is Dogma, Jesse thinks, staring at the half-asleep trooper standing in the doorway, with the Allure sitting contentedly on his shoulder, tail wrapped around his neck like a scarf. It looks like he's been trying to get her down off his shoulders and into his arms so that he can hand her back to Jesse. Please take your Tuca back, Lieutenant. Even as he gets his arms around her belly, she shifts, more solidly settled than before. The Allure has spoken, Jesse says instead. She stays with you. The poor shiny looks like Jesse's just told him that Life Day was canceled. Strange. He finally manages to get the Allure off his shoulders. He digs her claws into the shirt of his blacks, and he has to work them free so he cannot too gently shove her into Jesse's arms. Was that Dogma? Kix asks from his bunk. Or was it Tup? They don't have enough experience with any of the shinies to identify them by cadence yet. Oh, is that his name? Jesse asks. He'd known that one of Dogma's batchmates was also assigned to Torrent, but he doesn't think he's learned his name yet. It was Dogma. He looks down at Allure, already squirming to get down. What do you think? Give him a few minutes to think that you're going to leave him alone? She catches his chin with a claw. As soon as he drops her back down, she triggers the door to open and bolts off down the corridor. Echo snorts. So that's a no. Tup glances up when the door opens. Dogma's scowling, and the Tuca that he'd gone to return to Lieutenant Jesse is right back behind him. Did the lieutenant not want her back? She came back, Dogma grumbles. Tup can't decide if he's more upset that the Tuca has decided that he's her new favorite place to sleep, or if it's because they're definitely not authorized to have any kind of pet, and certainly not a Tuca that was allegedly rescued from one of the ground campaigns. The Tuca hops onto Dogma's bed with a soft meow sound and curls up right in the middle of his pillow. Where am I supposed to sleep? He snaps, picking up the Tuca and placing her down on the ground. No, he says, when she looks like she's preparing herself to hop back up. She stares at him for 2 seconds, and then hops up anyway. This time, she settles right in the center of the bunk. Dogma lets out a frustrated groan. The Tuca buries her face into her fluffy tail and closes her eyes, already set to fall asleep. The Allure has spoken, one of their fellow shinies calls sleepily from his bunk. Dogma shoots a glare in his direction, picking the Tuca up again and handing her wordlessly to Tup. Tup does not know what to do with the Tuca. He looks down at her and says, hi? She starts squirming, scratching his hands and launching herself back to Dogma's bunk. Oh, for the love of... At least Dogma had managed to climb up onto the bunk himself this time. She settles squarely onto the small of his back, pulling all of her legs underneath herself and wrapping her tail around her front. She's very cute, Tup muses. He's starting to suspect that the assignment to Captain Rex and the 501st isn't going to be quite what he and Dogma had expected. Maybe you remind her of that injured arc, Tup suggests, as the Tuca seems to fall asleep. Maybe she'll leave you alone once he comes back. They'd heard that there was an Ark on Coruscant, badly injured in Torrent's last campaign, and needing the time to recover. Tup can't imagine what kind of injury would lay one of them up that badly, but he hopes the trooper makes it. He's clearly important, for the Republic to be willing to put so much into his recovery. I hope so, Dogma mumbles into the pillow. She does not, in fact, leave Dogma alone when Fives returns. In fact, she clings to him more, almost like she's proving a point to the Ark. Some form of, I don't need you anymore, you've been replaced. Fives doesn't seem too particularly bothered by this. The allure has spoken, he says, scratching her ears while she sits in Dogma's arms. You've replaced Kix as her favorite. Dogma does not want to be the Tuca's favorite. Whose idea was it to name a Tuca the allure of Torrent anyway? It's about a week after they leave Coruscant, Fives back on the ship, that Dogma gets back to the barracks following a duty shift to find a plaque stuck onto the foot of his bunk. Nobody else in the barracks is willing to tell him who it was that put it there. The Tuca is sitting at the foot of the bunk, in the position that the others call loaf, like she's fully aware that the plaque is for her. Shouldn't the plaque be over the Tuca bed? Tub asks, standing behind where Dogma's frozen in the doorway. What Tuca bed? Tup points over his shoulder. That one. There's a small Tuca bed at the floor by Dogma's bunk. That's her throne, Axel points out. Kix said the plaque was for her bunk. It's my bunk, Dogma snaps. He does not need a plaque declaring it to belong to Her Majesty, Allure of Torrent, first of her name, and Scourge of Mouse Droids. The plaque cannot be regulation. Not anymore. The allure has spoken. The end.